Today is Passion Sunday. It is also the first Sunday of the month, and thus our Vocation Sunday. And I ask you, please offer your Holy Communions and Mass this morning for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Now, for those who are unable to make it during the week for confessions, I will be hearing confessions after Mass this morning. Please note as well, my dear people, the changes in the Mass schedule this week. There is an 11 a.m. Mass being offered tomorrow at the school. However, there will be no Mass on Tuesday morning. Also, please note the changes for Palm Sunday. The Masses at St. Pius V School will begin at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., while the second Mass here at the chapel will begin at 8:45. This is due, of course, to the lengthier ceremonies of Palm Sunday. Now, the Marian Holy Hour for the ladies will be at St. Pius V School this Wednesday at 7 p.m. The Father Roy Randolph Right to Life group will be praying the rosary here at the chapel this Saturday after the 8 a.m. Mass. This Saturday, April 9th, we will also be cleaning and setting up the school for the Holy Week ceremonies and the altar of repose. There is much to be done, and any assistance that could be offered would be greatly appreciated. I ask parents to please refer to the bulletin for the scheduled times for the practices for the altar boys and for the choir girls for Holy Week. And in regard to Holy Week as well, the altar of repose, beginning after the ceremonies on Thursday morning, Holy Thursday morning, our Lord will be exposed, as it were, in the Blessed Sacrament throughout the day on Holy Thursday and through the night into Good Friday morning. And we do need at least two adorers per hour at the altar of repose. And I ask, my dear friends, you please be generous with your time on Holy Thursday evening or day or Good Friday morning, and please come and spend an hour with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The $10,000 raffle this year has 2 weeks left. We have sold many tickets, but we have a number left to sell, and I ask if there's anything you could do to help out in selling a ticket or obtaining one for yourself, please contact Mr. Patrick Fonts. And finally, anyone who may be here at St. Pius V for the first time, all are welcome to attend our Masses and ceremonies here at the chapel, but there are rules and requirements that must be met for the reception of Holy Communion, and these are available on the back of the bulletin as well as posted in the vestibule of the chapel. If this is your first time here, I ask you please contact us in the church office with any questions you may have in regard to who we are and what we do here at St. Pius V. If your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. And if they be red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. These words are taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the last 4 weeks, as it has come to my attention, the priests have been preaching on the six precepts of the Church. And this morning, I would like to depart from today's epistle and gospel and talk to you about the third precept or commandment of the Church, that is, go to confession at least once a year. But first, I want to relate to you a true story about a parish priest, a dying man, and confession. The story was first told by a Franciscan priest sometime in the early 1950s. And it's about a parish priest who was the pastor of a parish way out in the country in one particular state. And the story goes, one of his parishioners was seriously ill and dying, ill unto death. And this man had not received the sacraments in many, many years. When the pastor was told of his sickness and that he would eventually die from it, he would often go and visit the family. But his visits were not merely social visits. They were visits intended to bring that man around and bring him back to the sacraments before he should die. And thus, while they talked about many things, he would always bring in the necessity of the sacraments and making a good confession. And again, he would turn to the man and he would say, "Let's take care of this. Let's fix this now." But the man would promise the priest, he'd say, "Father, yes, I will do this. But next time you come, I'm not ready now." So the priest would agree and say, "Okay." But as this condition worsened, it became evident on a particular Sunday afternoon that this man was not going to last the week. And thus his wife called the rectory that Sunday afternoon and begged the priest to please come now. The priest immediately left the house. He got into his car. He drove out to the farm, which was about a good half hour away. He arrived and immediately went to the man's room. And in very kind and gentle words, he said, "Now is the time. Make your peace with God. Let's do this." But all he could get out of the man was another promise to go to confession and receive communion the next morning. He told the priest he just wasn't ready. He needed time now to prepare. So the good priest obliged and promised him that no matter what, he would be back the next morning. Monday morning dawned, and as well, an enormous snowstorm had fallen during the night. The priest went out to his car, which was buried in snow. He began shoveling it out, as well as trying to start it, but the car would not start. He then walked over to the neighbor's house and he asked him if he could please drive him to see a dying man. And the man readily obliged, though the snowstorm was not without its dangers. They dug out that man's car. It started. The priest went into the church. He obtained the Blessed Sacrament and they began plowing through the snowdrifts on these roads. And just as they were about just over halfway there, their car was stuck in the snow. They walked the rest of the way to the dying man's home. And when he reached the house, the family on their knees to receive him, but even more to receive the Eucharistic Christ. The wife led him into the room with a candle. The priest entered the room of the dying man. He put the Blessed Sacrament down on the table. He began the prayers, but the dying man again put off confession. This time he said, "Father, I'm too weak to make a confession." But that good priest, looking into the eyes of this man and seeing he is going to die very soon, he said to the man in a very firm but kind voice, "My friend, you are going to confession now." And then pulling up a chair, he sat down beside the man. And with a smile on his face, the priest said, "And I'm not leaving until you do." Whatever it was that had held this man back from going to confession all these long years was overcome by the grace of God and the zeal and kindness of that priest. He made his confession, He made a sincere and good confession. He then received Holy Viaticum. And then the priest gave him the last rites of the church. What a grace was given to him that day. When the priest had finished, he headed back to the rectory. He and his neighbor friend there trudged through the snow back to the car. And somehow, some hours later, they made it back to the rectory. Not long after he had walked through that door, the phone rang. It was the wife telling him that the man had just died. She thanked him for all he had done for her husband and to bring him back into the grace of God before death. Now, as I said, my dear friends, the third precept of the church states that every Catholic must go to confession at least once a year. What this means is that Catholics are bound to confess their sins to the priest in confession sometime within the year. No special time is ordered for the yearly confession, but it is usually made in preparation for the annual Easter communion. But it goes without saying that, God forbid, someone has the misfortune of falling into mortal sin. They should not wait a year. They should not wait months. But rather, they should go to confession as soon as possible. And if they are not able to make it to confession, many a spiritual writer says they should make acts of contrition and have that desire to confess and then go as soon as is possible. In fact, my dear friends, the Catholic is in the state of mortal sin and they fail to go to confession for a year, they commit a mortal sin. They break that precept of the church. Moreover, I have to tell you in this day and age that the family has an obligation to ensure that parents or a spouse or family members receive the sacraments before any life-ending documents are signed at the hospital. I'm talking in particular about the DNR form, the Do Not Resuscitate form. And I mention this because it is especially even greater in this recently, in the last couple of years, that a family member is brought to the hospital, they're dying, and one of the first things they hand to the family is this form, get this signed right now, do not resuscitate. And very often, our Catholic people don't even know what this thing means. It is always prudent, therefore, before signing such a form, to speak to a priest. The most important thing is that the family member is, the sacraments are received before that form is signed. But although confession once a year is sufficient to fulfill the law of the church, still, many a spiritual writer, among them St. Francis de Sales, says a Catholic should go to confession, some say the very least every other month, some say once a month, some say twice a month. St. Francis de Sales says once a week, for those in particular who struggle against habits of sin or are overwhelmed with temptation. For frequent confession, he says, is a tremendous help to overcome temptation, to keep us in the state of grace, to keep the conscience clear, and to enable us to grow in the virtue of charity, the love of God, and in many other necessary virtues such as patience. Confession as well maintains that fervor that we need to keep our evil inclinations in check. These things I'm talking about are the effects of original sin that we all carry with us, that we all struggle against. At the same time, though, many a spiritual writer tells us that we cannot presume on confession either. And by this, they are referring specifically to the temptation of the devil. The temptation of the devil to people to think that they can commit this sin and then they can just go to confession later. And this, of course, my dear people, is an abuse of the sacrament. It is a distorted view of God's goodness and mercy. For confession is not a license to sin, as many a so-called Protestant theologian has said. Confession, they say, is a Catholic's license to commit sin. No, confession is the means God has given to obtain His forgiveness. The Church is merciful in requiring confession only once a year, but we must take to heart our Lord's desire, and His desire is that we take advantage of this great and powerful sacrament often. For in the sacrament of penance, that is sacramental confession, we see His great love and the mercy of the Sacred Heart for sinners. For the Sacred Heart of Jesus said through the prophet Isaiah, "If your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. And if they be red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool." The salvation of our souls is His infinite desire. And how He sees us, how His Sacred Heart saw us from the Garden of Gethsemane on that first Holy Thursday night as He was weighed down by every sin ever committed, as He took all of those upon Himself, how He saw us from the garden struggling against sin, overwhelmed with temptation. And what compassion He had upon us. For not only He took those sins away and died for them on the cross, but in His infinite mercy, He gave us confession as the means by which His precious blood would be poured out upon our souls to wash away those sins. And isn't it amazing that at the time of the Protestant Reformation, one of the first things Martin Luther threw out in his so-called reform was the sacrament of penance, sacramental confession. He actually referred to it in so many words as an evil. He called it evil. And he replaced it with what he called his fiducial faith. And by that, we simply mean, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved. All you have to do is say, "I accept Christ as my personal Savior," and you're saved. You don't have to go to confession. You can do whatever you want. He actually said, "Sin boldly." Just believe more boldly. That doctrine of Luther, this fiducial confidence, is straight out of hell. And was it any surprise in the wake of Vatican II, when the modernists went to work, what was one of the first things after the holy sacrifice of the Mass that changed? no more confession. The confessionals were empty. I actually knew a priest from the Archdiocese of New York who still maintained a belief in that a priest should go to confession every week. And he said in the Archdiocese, the Paulist fathers had a few churches in the Archdiocese, and they were commissioned by the cardinal to hear the confessions of the priests of the diocese. And this priest faithfully, since his ordination in 1948, every week he went to confession. And not long after Vatican II, he goes into confession and he starts to make his, he said, I'm here for my weekly confession, Father. And the priest says, what are you doing that for? We don't believe in that anymore. You don't need to be here. That's just one example of many of how they destroyed this idea of confessing your sins, of being sorry for sin. They call it the sacrament of reconciliation. Luther called it fiducial faith. But let us, my dear friends, not be like the sick man in the story who kept putting off confession and putting it off. For the longer we put off asking God's pardon, the less pleasing we are to Him, the fewer graces are offered to us, and we are without a peace of soul. Go then to confession regularly, receive Holy Communion frequently. For these two things, the devil hates very much. And that is why at the Protestant Reformation and in the wake of Vatican II, he sought to destroy confession and Holy Communion. If it has been some time since your last confession, or God forbid we have purposely made bad confessions in the past, if it has been many, many years, do not be discouraged. The priest is there to help you. He will be like that zealous priest who assisted the dying man in this story. So zealous was that priest that even inclement weather would not prevent him from absolving his sins. What a great consolation it is that in this day and age, this loss of faith, we still have sacramental confession. We have dedicated priests who will hear confessions and who will go out of their way to great lengths to hear confession and provide the sacraments. What a consolation it will be for us on our deathbed, and how pleasing we will be to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we took advantage regularly of the sacrament of penance and made frequent use of the mercy of the Sacred Heart in confession. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.